Welcome to the latest episode in the Enterprise Time Security Podcast series. My name is Ian Murphy, and my guest today is Philippe Courtois, Chairman and CEO of Qualys. Today we're going to talk about the challenges CISOs are likely to face in 2021 and the big trends for enterprise security. Philippe, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, and it's a real pleasure, you know, to be with you. As you know, we've been in the security business now for 20 years and we've seen many changes.
CISOs have an unenviable role. On one hand, they're dealing with the whole IT security operation, which is technical. On the other hand, they're an advisor to the board, which is more political. The two jobs don't always sit well together. Very, very few CISOs have a well-defined job description. How do they start balancing the two in order to be effective in their role?
It's a really challenging balancing act, especially because of the time we're in, where finally, if I look back 10 years of moving into the cloud, the CISOs, especially the security people, very reluctant to move into the cloud because they were not quite understanding what the cloud was and how to secure the data, which is essentially their role. Today is very clear that we're moving into the cloud very quickly. The technologies have evolved because of the investments that Google, Facebook, Microsoft putting a lot of their logical announcement in open source, so they could find a way to exchange that information. These have changed the dynamics. Today, with this avalanche of new technology, I think the technology is moving even faster and faster and faster. If you take the example of Qualys, we have leveraged that and we have built a significantly highly scalable cloud platform where we manage 20 petabytes of data. We have 140 open source engine integrated. We index 9 trillion data points on Elasticsearch clusters. So it's absolutely a new world. If you're the CISO and if you're not technical, you have the pressure from the business, which is we need to really accelerate our digital transformation, change our business, secure that. Then you have, on the other hand, the technical people, which wants to drive and build security in. They don't want to be slowed down because they've got a huge technical task and they need to secure it. Security now is moving toward the people who are implementing all these new solutions. And the CISO is sitting in the middle of all of that. Then you have a compliance requirement, which could turn into fines. So you have all that legal aspect here about what is GDPR, what is the impact of GDPR in the US, for example. Of course, in Europe, it's a different story. GDPR is really baked into a lot of things. Companies are starting to get fined. It's a very difficult task at the end of the day. Those CISO which are not really technical should focus more on the compliance side, a regulatory aspect or the privacy of the data. Conversely, those who are more technical savvy could work hands and glove with the DevOps people, with that new generation of engineers, which are essentially forging the IT future for their company, which is a combination of private clouds, public clouds, and still you have to deal with the legacy solutions. So complex problem.
If we look at other roles in the enterprise, we tend to split them into two different tracks. Is there a case for potentially splitting the CISO role into two, a technical CISO and a business CISO?
I say there's a third element, the more political CISO. Political in the good sense of the politics, which is come from the Greek, which means the caretaker of the city. We see some organization doing that where the CISO is more the voice of the company. If there's a data breach, to communicate with the board, to communicate if needed, to communicate with the regulators, but not the guy involved in the technology. The technology is essentially now absorbed by the ops team, which is also evolving. We see, for example, in large banks specifically, that the old team has been essentially removed, starting from the CIO. Not only the CISO, but the CIO, the CTO have been replaced by a new generation of people who are far more into these new technologies. Then the CISOs in these companies become somebody who's much more the outside voice for the company and also the voice that can explain to the board the initiatives that the company has to try to streamline building security in. That's the way we look through the eyes of our customers. And we have 70% of Fortune 100. Yesterday, Sumedh, our president and chief operating officer, and I, we were with a major European financial company, which is also using our platform significantly and want to do more. You could see that they have, it's a new team where you have the person in charge of security is much more the person which is in charge of the ops. And then you have the procurement, which is more like the negotiator. So it's all like a new team. The CISO was not even there because its role is much more an outbound role than an inbound role. So that's, again, an example here.
If I look at a lot of cybersecurity teams, we have compliance specialists, coding specialists, threat detection specialists, and threat intelligence analysts. We understand that there are different routes into each of these roles. There are different career paths for these roles. But it seems to be that as people go through, there's almost an assumption that eventually they will all want to become a CISO rather than allow them to stay in an area that they know very well and can add value to. They're pushed into an area where they're uncomfortable or they don't fit well.
The big dynamic that we see in the large companies, starting even with the CIO, you have the fundamental rethinking of that old IT infrastructure that they have, because that old infrastructure has served its purpose very well. But today, if you look at the corporate network, it's unmanageable. Then you have the internet, which is replacing it, which is free. We need more security into the internet itself. For example, not connecting to DNS without going through HTTPS, but it's not yet into the standard. That new cloud architecture is massive servers, which have infinite computing power, infinite storage capabilities, and then the internet as a mean of communication. And on the other hand, you have specialized devices. So where's the corporate network? We don't need it. And it was very clear when COVID arrived with that movement of workers working from home, how do I manage their laptops? These guys are connecting directly to Salesforce.com, to these, to all these applications, but I just cannot patch them because I cannot patch them from my network anymore. I will have to have VPNs with significantly bigger bandwidth, which is a fortune. And is that what could we do? The world is really changing and COVID is accelerating that change. That's why the large company reorganized. Then the smaller companies, they are really left with a very difficult problem, which is how could I manage all of that? They are moving more and more toward the cloud. I see an opportunity for managed security service providers to really start to say, don't worry about the security, we'll take care of that for you. Then you need new managed security service platforms, which can not only analyze and detect, but also need to be able to respond and to respond remotely. What is going to happen to our industry is that big chunk of our industry will disappear, like the mainframe disappeared, like the mini computer disappeared, being replaced by the new generation of companies, which are native cloud fundamentally, and can essentially bridge the gap between the old network-centric infrastructure toward a now cloud-centric infrastructure, whether an application, whether it's private clouds, public cloud, SaaS solutions with a lot of different devices that connects to your resources via the internet. I thought it would have happened much earlier. What I didn't realize was two things. One is the resistance from the existing players, which didn't want to change, and that the technologies were not yet all necessarily that mature. But in the last few years, there's a lot of new technological change, which now have really tipped the scale significantly toward the clouds. The cloud is accelerating. There's no question about it.
It's quite interesting here, isn't it? Because if we look at 2020, for all the conversations about how much the pandemic has accelerated digital transformation, what it hasn't done is it hasn't dealt with many of the underlying challenges and problems that CISOs face. For example, the idea that everybody should be able to just get hold of a VPN to connect into the office. Companies were caught short of thousands, tens of thousands of VPN clients and licenses in order to do this. They also needed to add new equipment. These unpredictable changes are shocks to the entire system. And quite frankly, there's no evidence that this won't have significant ramifications for 2021.
On the contrary, this has been essentially the awareness. Certainly people realize, say, but I cannot continue putting all these VPNs and so forth. It doesn't make any sense. I don't want to preach what we did at Qualys, but essentially it highlights the fact that we provided a free service. So now you can patch from the internet. You put the Qualys agent on your device, and now suddenly you can pull the patches from the internet. You don't need all these VPNs. It's all automated. It's very easy to do on the laptop. Now, if you have servers and so forth, it's a bit more complicated. You want to patch a laptop or to reimage a laptop, just send a new image. It's relatively easy. You can do all of that remotely. So that has been the awareness. And you see some companies which really benefited more than us because we were just coming now into the endpoint significantly. All these endpoints are outside of the corporate network. And so you need to solve that problem. We need to connect with our remote workers. And then, of course, we need to secure them. And the current tools that we have today are not working.
How much of this is a generational and a culture shift? We're very good at talking about the need for a change of culture when it comes to end-user security and the need to move to become cloud-first. But we're not very good when we talk about a culture shift in the mentality of our own staff. Are we facing a point where CISOs need to start thinking about a whole new culture for security, a whole new culture for how they view the organization?
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of the challenge. Some will raise to the challenge, some will not. The tenure of a CISO today, in the US in particular, is so short because there is a lot of movement. Once there is a data breach, what is happening is the excuse to go and do these changes that need to be made, because the problem that companies have, specifically the larger ones, is the silos. We have been building IT infrastructure and applications in a very siloed way. You are managing or deploying the Windows server, the Unix server, the database, and those are doing this and that. Then between IT and security, there's been always a very big tension. They're all siloed organizations, and the tools which were used were very enterprise tools which didn't scale well. Putting all this together is what the company like Symantec and McAfee tried to do by acquiring all these best-of-breed solutions. They could not tie them together. We have, in a way, a similar problem today. Now that environment has completely changed, you are not going to be able to give this single view by acquiring companies, the best of breed, even if they are cloud. You have a major architectural issue to build all of that together. That's why the notion of native cloud in security, you have to think about how could I build security into the new infrastructure. It's not anymore about bolting on, it's about building in. And that's a very different cultural change and cultural view. If you are the CISO and you have realized that it's about building in, you know that your traditional vendors that you maybe were pretty cozy with don't have the time to re-architect. You need to find new vendors. Then you realize that when you speak about building in, this is more between the vendors themselves to really put these pieces together, not anymore the company.
But we've been having this discussion about, do we have too many tools, for 3, 4, 5 years now. Companies have struggled to make sense out of the number of tools, and worse, all of those tools generate data which overwhelms the analysts inside the security operations center.
That's the current standby situation. Look at what has happened, for example, with CRM. How many CRM tools do we have today? Not that many. You have Salesforce.com and a few others. That's new technical paradigm, abstract. All these different old technologies which have been built today. The cloud architecture, it's massive data centers, which you could not even dream before, very cost effectively, that can scale much more easily because they're all fractal. Then you could have as much storage as you like. Now you have the vehicle to communicate, which is the internet, which brings you everywhere. And now you have to take care of essentially three components. So security has to be built within the data center, has to be more secure than what it is today. And at the endpoint, devices which are now outside of your corporate walls. Security today is taking on a totally new view. It's not selecting best of breed vendors and then having my technical people in the company tying all these pieces together. No, it's about getting solutions where everything is building. And that's what, for example, that we did very well working with Microsoft today. Our entire platform is fully integrated transparently with Microsoft Azure. If you are an Azure customer, you go to the security center and you click on a link and you have the view of all of your inventory, all of your assets on Azure. You click on the second link and then you have the view of the security and compliance posture of those assets. Then you click on the third link and you can remediate. So the first two are our agent technology or our technology embedded in Microsoft Azure. The third one is all Microsoft Azure. But for the customer, it's about click, 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 three clicks. You have nothing to install, nothing to update. The only thing you've got to do is to bring your policies. What are your policies that you have? What are the compliance requirements that you have? And that's all you do now in terms of security.
But those policies and requirements are a significant part of the problem that we face. It's one thing to look at cloud and to like the dynamic change that cloud gives us. But when we look at security, we need stability. The problem is we have applications now that are being created and disappear within 9 months. That is their entire life cycle. When we start to look at building security policies, we still tend to think very much in the 1980s, 1990s idea that once a policy is created, it's going to be there for a considerable period of time. How do we build security using dynamic policies that adapt to the business in the same way that applications have adapted to the cloud? Or are we at a point where we need to completely rethink what a policy is?
Policies are dictated by the business on one hand and by the regulators on the other hand. If you're regulated, if there is regulation, you have to follow them whether you like it or not. But this is the abstract layers of the policies. The key is, how do I implement them and how do I maintain them? In this new environment, which are more ephemeral, that's what is very important to build security in, because you cannot come with a solution that you've got to suddenly, how do I integrate on the cloud, which is not mine? It could be a private cloud, but it could be also Azure, or it could be Google. How do I bring my policies there if these environments are not capable of taking them easily? If you have to go and install things there, it defeats the purpose of this cloud environment. So it's not that the fundamental concept of policy has changed, is how you implement the controls. That's where the change is. It's a technical challenge. Look at containers. Containers are wonderful. They are ephemeral. The big advantage of containerizing your solution is that you don't have to worry about the deployment. It goes with the containers. Now, the problem is, how do you ensure the security of that? Same story here again. Today, you look at that world, you need to detect any kind of deviations that you have seen. The first time was well secure, and then it drifts because engineers are throwing things. You need to control that. You have many points where you want to control that. Then how do you protect them? This is why you have to have a new technical philosophy. The path that our company took was to say, if you really want to ensure that you can protect the containers, you need to have an agent at the container level. That's what we have recently introduced, because now you have the ability to essentially connect to that agent, like we're doing with our all other agents for your laptops, your servers, and so forth. Once you have installed them, they continuously self-update. It's all automatic, and they beam up the changes that they see. Then you have control capabilities. So you can tell them, okay, do this, do that. It's a new architecture. The difference is as big of a difference between the mini computer or the mainframe architecture, which was everything into one big processor, and then essentially dumb terminals on the other end, versus a client server, which was distributing the computing power to all the employees within the company. Now that similar architecture has taken place, but distributing the computer at the scale of the planet. We could secure the current enterprise network by bolting on security pieces. It started first with the antivirus. We bolt that on. Then now I communicate to the outside, so I need to put firewalls, and then on and on and on and on. You end up with that plethora of solutions that become unmanageable. Qualys has built a platform which today is cloud native and scaled absolutely significantly. This is that new security framework which is taking place. And that's much more an engineering thing than it is a CISO thing, because it's not about selecting essentially few best of breed solutions and telling IT you need professional services to tie all that together. Is trying to select the right horses that you want to ride into that future. Unless you are technical, you as a CISO cannot really do that. That's why it's shifting toward the people which are now building the digital transformation or the ops.
But it leaves the CISO in the role of a ringmaster. If I go back to your analogy of the mainframe and the mini computer, we had a systems architect, software architects, and one or two smaller roles. But we could see at a glance what our IT estate was. 40 years on, we have an IT estate that evolves almost by the hour. We end up with API architects, orchestration architects, security architects. We have so many people who are trying to architect different parts of our environment that actually we don't have an overall architecture. How does the CISO get enough control over all of the complexities of these pieces of architecture? Because the other thing that I didn't mention there was the problem of compliance. Compliance architects are going to have to come along, because those rules and those policies become an absolute if we're not to start to see companies falling foul of governments in a big way.
When you go from having a car, which in the past was with the steam engine, that's the way the car started, to create some electricity, then you use gasoline. Now today is electric. You realize that all these architectural components are bringing different capabilities and different architectural needs. So it's part of that evolution. In that evolution, you have people which were very expert at what they were doing before. That doesn't apply anymore. Very few people are capable of moving from one dimension to that new dimension. And at the end of the day, you could even take that at the philosophical level and say, this is the reason why life is not eternal, because then we could not evolve. Fundamentally, we will not be evolving if we were living forever. It's part of the natural evolution of life that you need to have that kind of flexibility, and you create a system which adapt, which evolve. And we're going through the same thing in medicine. Look at the example of COVID. Because of messenger RNA, that new platform, there is a new way of making vaccine which will shorten the time instead of other process. So that's part of this evolution. That's what we see today happening in the enterprise. We see some enterprises which today are flying because they have been capable of understanding all these technological changes and what they need to do. We see other ones resisting and not knowing what to do. Those in between realize that they got to move. We see again these changes at the very top, the CIO, the CTO, many, many changes are taking place today, where the old guard now is starting to be essentially replaced by a new guard of people which understand the cloud. That's the challenge and the opportunity.
That analogy of a vaccine is really apt, though, for security. If we think about most people's approach to security, it's a complex layered model. If we look at where we need to get to, it needs to be fast and light and highly adaptable. So where's the new thinking coming from that takes us from that layered model to that fast, reactive, but ultimately effective model?
That's exactly the point. You need people who understand what this new technology can provide you. Container security is very new, and look at how it's taking the world. Look at what Qualys has done for our own platform. We went through that evolution. We started with a LAMP protocol, Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. Oh boy, that was pretty limiting. But that was, okay, that's the only tool that we had to do. And then suddenly Elasticsearch came in, and the first version were not that great. Today, we have 140 open source engines, Kafka, Cassandra, you know, Elasticsearch, all of that is open source that we modified, we integrate it all together. Look at the solution that we have built to deploy the Qualys agent across your entire enterprise. In the beginning, we had these scanners that we were FedExing. They were appliance-based. You could install them in 10 minutes, and then you didn't have to worry about updating them. They were self-updating. They were connecting by dialing out. It was pretty easy to deploy. So if you are a large company and you've got, let's say, 50, 60, 100 subsidiaries, we can FedEx all these scanners. 2 days later, they arrive. Then they are installed. They immediately dial back via the internet to the Qualys platform, and now you have the visibility of your vulnerabilities across your entire global subsidiaries, including the internet facing and the inside. Now we push that again with the agent. Today, when you can put the agent, now you have real time. And these agents, what do? Is that they pick up the changes on the devices where you put them. And all that goes into our backend where everything is analyzed, and now we can essentially do the response, which is either patching or quarantining the devices and so forth. How long does it take to deploy 500,000 agents in a company with Qualys? A few days. Containers. How long does it take to put our agent into these containers and have simply this agent communicating back to the platform and doing their job? Same story. What you have today is this new architecture. We manage 20 petabytes of data. And the response time on Elasticsearch clusters is 100 milliseconds. We give you real time. Today, security has become a problem of scale. A problem of accuracy, it always has been. You don't want false positive, false negative, and you need to have the scale. You need to have real time, and then you need to do the response as much as you can in an automated way. That does require totally different architectures. What is that architecture? It has to be a cloud native based architecture. And so that's what you've got to build. It's multiple companies doing that now. We Qualys are probably one of the first ones. This is the new world which is coming to the market.
But that's a good example of speed of change at a tools level. We were talking there about the need for fresh thinking and new thinking at a CISO level. One of the things when a board goes out to appoint a new CISO is they tend to look for experience. And in this industry, experience is a generational thing. We don't tend to look at people in their 20s or their early to mid 30s and consider them material to be a CISO. But actually, these people have markedly different views on how things should work because they've been brought up with technology. They see it in a different way to you and I. So how do we get companies to take a chance? Instead of saying, I want my CISOs to have got 20 or 30 years experience, how do we get them to take on somebody much younger? Somebody whose thinking challenges the board, let alone the technical people inside their organization.
This is happening. The way humans evolve is essentially by looking at what that minority of people, the agent of change, in the beginning, they are pretty alone. Sometimes they're rejected. Remember the story of the planet Earth that Galileo and Copernicus said, no, it's not the sun that rotates around the Earth. It's the heliocentricity of the universe. It's our planets which are rotating around the sun. That was not really well accepted by the Catholic Church and the political power at the time. I was explaining to some CISOs what we were doing, and I'm telling me, oh, but you know, this is very interesting what you do. But you have to realize we'll never outsource security. We're giving you a tool, we give you the visibility that you don't have. But they could not understand that because for them, security had to be under their full control. They could not delegate that to a company to provide them the visibility. After a certain period of time, the critical mass is starting to be created. Now people realize that's where the market is going. Some of these experienced people, they retire because they know their time is past. And you have a new generation coming in. That has been the story of humanity forever. Today, I can tell you, I'm absolutely a firm believer that security is changing big time. This is a new era for security, which I thought would have happened 10 years, 15 years ago. We're just at the beginning of a huge acceleration where everything is moving, becoming cloud native. Then you encapsulate your old infrastructure because you cannot change everything at once. But still, you need the visibility across your on-premise, endpoint, cloud, containers, web application, APIs. Now it's OT and IoT. It's the same story. So that's a new game in town. And you could see visibility, and then seeing is not enough. You need to act. That's the new fundamental trend within security. Visibility is number one. Accuracy is still to be there because you don't have good visibility if you have false positive, or if you have threats that you don't understand, attacks, you need that core visibility. You need to have a system whereby you could do corrective actions, detection of attacks and problems or vulnerabilities, and then response. That's what you have, that new term XDR, which is giving you that overall visibility across your entire environment with the notion of the inventory. And always has to be up to date. If you look at how many companies knows even the devices that they have, very few. And how could you secure what you don't know you have? It's impossible. And that's why we have so many breaches, because there's so many connection points where companies can enter into your house. That's the challenge of today, but I'm very confident that we are solving that. There's a technological component, as we discussed, and there's the component that you'd say is the people on top of it. Unless you are 100% automated, you still need the human, but you need the human at the level where they can really use the human intelligence to be effective.
I suspect many CISOs will look back on 2020 and wish it had never happened. But as you look at 2021, what are the top challenges you think CISOs are going to have to deal with?
The number one challenge is that you have to have that awareness. Today, if I don't know what I have, how could I secure it? I cannot go to a board discussion and say, yeah, we are doing a lot of great things to secure. If the board has the question, do we know what we have to secure? Do we know where our critical data is? Nobody knows. So then the question becomes, if you don't know, how could you secure it? The key is you need to really get that visibility. It's not easy to get, but the technology today is there. Today, part of what we call VMDR, which is Vulnerability Management, Detection and Response solution, which is an all-in-one application which allows you to detect anything that connects to your network in real time. From there, you can say, is that a device that I know? Yes. This is what that device looks like. These are the steps I need to do to validate if this is a device that I want to let go through or not. Should I limit the functionalities or the ability of that device? Or should I manage it by putting an agent in it? And then all the other ones, I know what they are, but that I know the security posture because it's continuous. We create your global IT inventory automatically, that you know exactly what you have. All of that is part of the solution. And then to identify your vulnerabilities, we prioritize them, and you can now remediate them or essentially quarantine them. And all of that is one thing, all at your fingertips. That's it. You don't need a lot of people to manage that. The deployment is pretty easy. We're doing the same thing with EDR, and we're coming up with an XDR solution which encompasses even more. So we do that for containers. We are expanding the power of the platform to cover the universe. And we're not the only one. But these new clients are the way to look at security today. You have various companies addressing the problems, and that's the new life taking shape. A lot of companies will not succeed. We see a huge consolidation of our industry, and a lot of companies starting to emerge on the cloud, public cloud. It's very clear today. You know, how many platforms do we have? Maybe four. If you take Microsoft, AWS, Google, and IBM there, trailing behind. Oracle is trying to get there, and then you have Alibaba. That's it. How many of these six are going to really be significant? Certainly three. We will see who is going to be those ones, which we can figure out already. And then the same thing for the security industry. You look at the firewall today. If you believe that the network is going to shrink, where is the firewall being used today? The big chunk of that market is in the network segmentation, which if there is no more network, you don't need to do network segmentation.
It's going to be very difficult for these companies moving forward. They're going to struggle to do a lot of this.
I do agree. This is their opportunity, their challenge. Look at what Microsoft has done. Satya did absolutely a remarkable job of making Microsoft evolve significantly, very similar to Steve Mills, who was responsible for the evolution of IBM. They invested $1 billion plus on Linux, which at the time was a 50-people company, so they could essentially encapsulate all their old product line and then emerge as a middleware and service company. They evolved, they survived, and they thrived. Today, are they going to be able to really move into the cloud? Which, ironically, IBM is the one with that vision of the cloud well before any other companies. It was called on-demand at the time. But for some reason, technically, they could not really get there. Now they are making progress, but still, it's a challenge. Evolving is not easy, and not many companies can do it. You have the business model issues. You have the cultural issues, as you mentioned. You have all of, you have the technical knowledge that you need to acquire if you don't have it. It's not easy. But if you don't do that, look at Blockbuster, look at all these companies, they totally disappeared. If they would have been smarter, they would have moved earlier, but they resisted the change. But ultimately, the only value left for Blockbuster was the building that they own in various cities.
But change, as you say, is hard. And it's not just about the CISO driving that change. It's about a CISO being backed by their board and by their IT departments.
Few banks have found a way to create a new team, and the CISO is a component of it, but he's not the one driving anymore the innovation of security. He's more understanding the fact that is part of it. Then they have a new team, which is ops, the business model issues that you need to adjust. Look at what COVID did on online purchasing. It's accelerating significantly the technical changes that companies like Amazon are making. So they could essentially allow you to select any kind of product and then deliver it in less than 2 days in your door. That's absolutely a huge infrastructure change that they've been making over time. COVID has absolutely accelerated all of that. That's where we are in security. COVID has exactly the same effect than we have seen in the online purchases. It's a big agent of change today.
I'm not sure there's any money in the world would get me to become a CISO with all of that.
If you are a very savvy person who understands the regulation, the privacy, all these other issues, then you can have a fantastic role because it's becoming very important. On the other hand, if you are a very technical, you can really move toward embracing the cloud. That's what I've been telling CISOs since as long as I can remember. Embrace the cloud, and then the cloud will serve you. If you don't embrace the cloud will kill you.
There's a message for them to think about. Philippe, thank you very much for today.
It's a pleasure speaking with you again. Thank you.